Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm your host, Tiggy. I am fresh off a 30-hour plane journey from South Africa, so please bear with me if I sound a little slow this afternoon. But many of you were messaging, asking where I've been, what I've been up to. I was in Africa. I was there for 3 weeks. My cat has missed me a lot. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that. I spent 2 weeks in Kenya studying sustainable food systems for school, as well as doing a safari. And I was also visiting my dad who lives in Cape Town. So an amazing 3 weeks, but I'm happy to be home and back in a familiar background and everything. And it was so nice getting messages from some of you who live in Africa, some listeners and followers over there. I even got the nicest invite to watch the race at someone's apartment in Cape Town with pancakes and the whole thing. Sadly, I had to be on a plane, but I would have much rather been doing that instead of trying to get the live TV to work on the plane in flight. You all are truly the best. What was not the best was the Japanese Grand Prix. I'll just go out and say it. One of you in Discord said that the race got monocoed, and I feel that. And I also love Matt from P1, the podcast. I loved his tweet that it was basically like an extended FP4, which felt quite accurate. That said, we never miss a chance to discuss everything, all the details. So we're going to dive into it step by step and get into some of the discussion points. So also because of my 30-hour journey and some flight issues, I am going to be recording solo again this week, but I promise there will be more guests coming now that I am back in my routine on schedule. It's been a little bit crazy with travel to kind of sort through everything, but I hope you'll bear with me. I'll also be going through a Bahrain Grand Prix preview at the end of this episode, so stay tuned for that because we are into a triple header. So first, for some news items before we dive into the weekend, I talked about this a little bit on the newsreel, but Formula One's engine manufacturers have been called to a meeting with the FIA at the Bahrain Grand Prix next weekend to gather thoughts on a potential future switch to V10 engines. So going back to the V10s, the sound that everybody loves, the sound that everybody misses, but notably that is not the planned direction for the 2026 regulation. So 2026 to 2030 right now are those hybrid engines, 50-50 ICE, hybrid, electric, but there is a possibility of an early switch back to V10s. And I think the question is, can that be done sustainably? What does that look like? Does that screw over GM and Cadillac and Audi, for example? Audi, a big reason that Audi agreed to come into F1 was the electric hybrid side of things. So a lot of big questions there. We'll see what comes out of the meeting in Bahrain. And one other headline, there were a couple incidents this weekend on the women's side of things. So Marta Garcia had a big injury, a crash, where she has stayed over in the hospital 2 nights in a row, but is conscious and is okay. And then also Nita Gottemann, who was testing for F1 Academy, had a big crash as well, was released from the hospital, but a good reminder of how dangerous and scary some of these incidents can be. And I'm just so glad that they're both okay, and hopefully that doesn't happen again. With that, let's dive into a quick, in case you missed it, not a lot to miss this race, but we're gonna go through it anyway. So almost all started on mediums. Only Hamilton was on hards of the top 10, and Ferrari notably split the strategy for their two cars with Charles on mediums and Lewis on hards. It was a one-stop race, and it was a super clean start from everyone. Really impressive. It was basically, I think, foreshadowing for the rest of what was a very slow, straightforward race, but no crashes, no incidents, no kerfuffles. Everybody just had a good, clean start. And the beginning of the race, not much to talk about. I knew when they were covering Doohan's pit stop in gruesome detail that it was quite a boring race. And Oscar in the cool down room kind of reiterated that. He was like, that's all that happened in the race. That was all of us. We were like, where are all the highlights? But still some really exciting moments. One, all the cars finished the race. So Fernando Alonso is on the board. He has finished a race. There was a moment of excitement in the early part of the race when a bunch of cars went in to do their pit stops and Max and Lando pitted at the same time, and Max had a second slower pit stop than Lando. And so there was an incident in the pits where Max was on his way out of the pits, and then Lando, because McLaren is the first place constructors, is the last car on the exit from the pit lane, pulled out right alongside Max and then kind of went into the grass. Lando blamed Max for that. Max was like, what in the world? He just drove himself into the grass. No further investigation from the FIA. Luckily, it wasn't an unsafe release for Lando, but it also was not Max's fault. Like, he was just going back into the race. but that was a glimmer of excitement that we had there. We, of course, had some more Alex Albon radio drama, who called his team ridiculous. I think he said something like, honestly, you guys are ridiculous, which he seemed kind of unhappy, but he finished in the points, so we love that for him. Another highlight was Kimi was leading the race for a good number of laps. He became the youngest ever race leader at a given time. Of course, he didn't win the race, but it was very fun to see that, and it was really fun to see Kimi and Lewis 1-2, and also hearing Bono on the radio talk to Kimi about Lewis was just kind of a crazy moment. So that was cool to see. And Kimi honestly deserves a Tire Whisperer title from this race, because he outlasted Hamilton, who was on hards, while Kimi himself was on medium. So very impressive. Really good race from Kimi. There was also some Ferrari radio drama where Hamilton was like, I'd really like some info on where I'm slow, mate. And Leclerc was kind of the opposite, had the opposite frustration of like, yes, you've already told me there's a reason I don't do this in terms of what you're telling me to do. So I think the Ferrari radio woes continue here. It was really fun to see the white Red Bull in honor of their last home race with Honda. As a reminder, Honda is going to Aston Martin next year, but the Japanese manufacturer, it was cool to see that tribute. And an incredible win for Max Verstappen to celebrate that. So in the end, our finishing order was Max Verstappen, P1, really amazing race from him. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri. We'll, of course, have to talk about the McLaren situation and what their strategy should have been, should they have made the call to swap the drivers when Piastri was showing more pace. But a double podium is a good result for them, even if they had the car to probably win that race. Then we had Charles Leclerc in fourth, George Russell in fifth, Kimi Antonelli sixth, Lewis Hamilton seventh, Isaac Hajar eighth, Alex Albon P9, and Ollie Berman P10. So another good point for Ollie Berman, and of course for Alex Albon and Isaac Hajar. The top six finishing order was the exact same as the start, which the announcers were saying it's the first time in history at a permanent track. Like, we've seen that at Monaco, we've seen that at some other street races or semi-permanent tracks, but at a permanent track, it's the first time that that's happened, which tells you about a little bit about the race. So for MVPs, I have to give it to Max. He was making jokes about the tractor situation, but the Red Bull car does not seem to be the fastest on the grid. The McLaren does seem faster. Even the Mercedes is looking really great. But Max just had an absolutely masterclass of a weekend to deliver perfection. That pole lap was insane. He honestly couldn't believe it. He just hooked it up every single sector, or just made it happen in a way that so many drivers could not. He said he was almost going to crash every single corner of that lap. So incredible stuff for Max Verstappen. And then just during the race, perfect start, really great execution. The McLarens were incredibly fast behind him, but Max just was totally unflappable, drove that car to the finish, and really deserved that win. I'm also going to give some secondary MVPs to Kimi and Isaac. These two rookies just continue to deliver and really impress me. I think on the Kimi front, for him to be consistently in Q3, finishing right alongside or even just a couple places back from George Russell is amazing. He was also really nervous coming into this track, having not had much experience here, and he just absolutely crushed it. He got the fastest lap, which I'm very sad he doesn't get a point for that anymore, but the title of the fastest lap still stands. And then, of course, youngest ever to lead a race. So I sense a podium coming soon. I think fastest lap and the stat of youngest ever to lead a race maybe doesn't mean a ton and might be a little bit more forgettable in the long term. But I think Kimi really deserves the accolades that he's getting, and he's really delivered. So he continues to do so, continues to really impress me, and I'm sure Toto Wolff as well. And then Isaac, I think he also just really continues to shine. He had a little bit of a roller coaster weekend with his issues during quali with his seatbelt and being very uncomfortable there, but managing to get into Q3 and pull out a really good time. And then, of course, during the race, as he has called it a couple of times, he's finishing the best of the rest. So not in a Mercedes, not in a Ferrari, not in a Red Bull, not in a McLaren. So really incredible that he's able to do that, especially as a rookie, outperforming Yuki, outperforming Liam Lawson. So good for Isaac. Those are my three MVPs. For my LVP, this is hard. I mean, I think Stroll is an obvious one for me, and I've been thinking a lot about the McLaren strategy, and I'll discuss that in a bit, but I guess I'll give it to that as well. I don't necessarily think it would have been the right decision to swap Piastri for Norris, but I do think that they probably could have had a little bit more foresight in terms of trying a different pit strategy, not putting themselves in that position, looking at the pace of the two cars and seeing that maybe Oscar had more pace or Lando had more pace at a certain point and just pitting them differently at different times rather than having them sort of be neck and neck and Piastri being held up by Lando and not fully knowing Lando's real pace, but it clearly wasn't good enough to get to Max. So yeah, I guess I'll give it to the McLaren strategy and then Lance Stroll for unfortunately coming last, but he has had a decent start to the season, so I'm hoping this is just a little bit of a blip. For my hot takes, I was half right on this one. I said that Yuki would replace Liam Lawson. This was before we knew that that was going to be happening, and it did seem unlikely potentially at the time. But then I decided to double down and say that Yuki would beat Max Verstappen, which I don't know if Max Verstappen, you're listening or you heard that, but you really decided to prove me wrong. But you really decided to prove me wrong, and I'm super happy for you. I wish Yuki had done a little better at his home race, but c'est la vie, and Max deserved it entirely. So that hot take crashed and burned, the second part of that. For a couple practice highlights, I think one of the first things off the bat that was funny was Carlos drove straight past the Williams pit box by accident, and he was funny on the radio about it. He was like, oh, I thought we were at the end. So an honest mistake there. FP2, we had a lot of incidents. There was a really big crash from Jack Doohan in FP2. He had to be helped by medical staff, but he was okay. Just another scary crash that happened this weekend. And all eyes were on Yuki and his first run in the Red Bull. He was pretty encouragingly close to Max Verstappen in FP1. FP2 didn't feel very representative for him, given he only had two flying laps on a heavy fuel load. But he seemed to be happy and relatively confident after practice in a way that unfortunately didn't really translate in quali or the race. But assuming Red Bull is not thinking about putting Isaac Hadjar in the seat next race, I think Yuki has some more time to prove himself. For some quick quali highlights, so Q1 knockouts, we had Hülkenberg, Bortoleto, Ocon, Doohan, and Stroll. Hadjar said that the car was undrivable, and this was where all the repositioning stuff was happening in the cockpit. He was very subtle about it in a way that I respect. Like, he easily could have been on the radio saying, like, look, this is happening, and he didn't. But I liked his radio. He was like, if this is what ruins our qualifying, I'm very sorry, which it ended up not really ruining the qualifying, but it was funny the way that it all happened. One highlight of Q1 was that Lawson had a really good last flying lap to get through to Q2 to edge out Nico Hülkenberg. So great to see Lawson get into Q2. Stroll had a mistake in Q1 that cost him getting into Q2. And then for Q2, we had the grass catch on fire, which caused a red flag. There was a lot of grass incidents over the weekend. Luckily, we didn't have any during the race, but that grass, they're going to do something about that next year, I imagine. There was an underwhelming lap from Yuki, and so it was tough. He was outqualified by Liam Lawson, even if just by one position, but it was his worst start at Suzuka, which was very unfortunate. So for Q2 knockouts, we had Gasly, Sainz, Alonso, Lawson, and Tsunoda. And then Q3, it was really exciting for Ollie to get into Q3, especially because Ocon was knocked out in Q1. So it was really nice to see three rookies in the top 10. We had Max pole, which I talked about a little bit earlier. He was just so excited to string that lap together. And we had Norris, Piastri, Leclerc, Russell, Antonelli, Hadjar, Hamilton, Albon, and Berman. So amazing for Hadjar to outqualify his absolute idol, Hamilton. And it was Max's fourth pole at Suzuka. I don't think I've ever heard him happier on the radio. It was also a lap record as well. But I was really thinking about that little miss meme I had put together of Max is really sweet, I swear. And I really thought that when I was listening to his radio, like, he just had pure unadulterated joy on the radio, just feeling like he absolutely pushed that car to the limit. It didn't deserve to be on pole, but his skill really shone through and he was able to get it there. Afterwards, Sainz unfortunately was hit with a 3-place grid penalty for impeding Hamilton, which demoted Sainz from P12 to P15. Whether you're traveling, advancing your career, or just love learning, speaking a new language opens up incredible opportunities, and Rosetta Stone makes it easier and more immersive than ever. I've been on a French learning journey for years, and I'm gearing up to go to the Monaco Grand Prix this year, so I'm trying to improve as much as possible before that. But one of the hardest things can be perfecting pronunciation. But Rosetta Stone has built in true accent speech recognition technology that provides real-time feedback, which has helped me sound much more natural. It's like having a personal language coach guiding your accent every step of the way. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Paddock Project listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. Even if you think it's a bit overhyped, AI is suddenly everywhere, from customer service to Formula Auto racing. If it's not in your industry yet, it's coming fast. But AI needs a lot of speed and computing power, so how do you compete without costs spinning out? Time to race to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a blazing fast and secure platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, plus all your AI and machine learning workloads. OCI costs 50% less for compute and 80% less for networking. That is a lot of prize money. Thousands of businesses have already upgraded to OCI, including Vodafone, Thomson Reuters, and Suno AI. Right now, Oracle is offering to cut your current cloud bill in half if you move to OCI for new U.S. customers with minimum financial commitment. Offer ends May 31st. See if your company qualifies for this special offer at oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might actually not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I personally took the quiz, and one of the recommendations I got was to start Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, fatigue, weight gain, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today. So a couple of race discussion points that I really want to hit. So McLaren strategy, I alluded to this a little bit earlier. What should they have done? I think someone commented that they looked like they didn't want to win today, which I agree with. I just felt like the strategy wasn't 100% there. But I also, as I was saying before, like, don't really know what I would have done in the sort of final laps situation. All things being as they were, like, we can discuss whether or not they should have pitted the drivers differently so they weren't going to end up in that position. But I honestly think McLaren's going to end up in a position with Lando and Oscar kind of fighting neck and neck, and they're going to have to figure out ways to deal with it. And I think it was unfortunate that it was Oscar's birthday, so he seemed pretty frustrated after the race that he wanted to be fighting for the win, and he felt like he was being held up by his teammate. But it was unclear what Lando's pace was at the time and whether he was saving his tires to be able to attack Max later or not, but it never really ended up panning out. So I think hindsight 2020, I guess I would have swapped the drivers, but I could see how that would be a really difficult call in the moment, especially because Lando is leading the championship and that would have given Max the championship lead. Obviously, we're very early in the season. Maybe you shouldn't even be thinking about that, but I think every single driver probably is at all times. And even McLaren is probably thinking about that. It's just better optics to have Lando winning the championship and McLaren still winning constructors. Like, better to have a solid 2-3 than maybe a chance at a 1-3, but likely a 2-3, and having swapped the drivers, making Lando unhappy. I don't know. It's a really difficult decision. But I also really feel for a lot of the Oscar fans, myself included, just sort of feeling like, is Oscar going to get a fair shot at the number one driver role? I feel like McLaren's PR strategy has always been, we don't have a number one driver. We're going to let them fight. It was only like the very last part of the season where it was super clear that Lando was the only one with a chance to potentially even fight Max for the title that they started to make those calls in Lando's favor. But I just sort of feel like they say there's no number one driver, and yet it does feel like Lando is sort of getting the priority more, which I'm not sure if that's fully deserved at the moment. We'll see how it happens. We'll see how it goes. But I think the counter argument to that is also like, well, if Oscar wants to be number one driver, he needs to be out qualifying Lando, which he didn't do this race. So it's a tough call, but I imagine Mark Webber will be having his words with the McLaren team. And for those of you who are not aware, Mark Webber is Oscar Piastri's manager, who has helped orchestrate the whole McLaren move and has been sort of a mastermind in Oscar Piastri's career to date. There was someone said something funny about how Mark Webber is sort of waiting in the wings like Kris Jenner. So we'll see how that continues to pan out. I think this is going to be a talking point almost every race with McLaren, of how they're dealing with Lando versus Oscar, who's performing better, when is it clear that there's a number one driver, should Oscar get more of a fair shot if he's not already, how should they be fixing their strategy. It feels like their car is there, they just need to figure out the strategy piece a little bit more. Second major talking point is Yuki's performance. It's definitely not what he wanted at home in his debut with Red Bull. Last race with Honda, home race again. And I think especially with his teammate winning the race while he was pointsless, probably stings a little bit. The one silver lining is that he did outperform Liam in the race, but it's unfortunate to see Isaac Hadjar also outperforming Yuki. Based on the comments from Red Bull, it sounds like they're going to be sticking with Yuki. That's the horse they've picked for the season, ideally. So we'll see what happens and if that stays true. But let's give Yuki a race or two to adjust at least, and to see where he goes from there, because I think as much as the fairy tale story would have loved to have been Yuki crushing it at Suzuka, points, maybe even podium, maybe even outperforming Max, I think that was probably a tall order and a tall expectation, and there was more pressure on his shoulders given the home race dynamic and the fact that he replaced Liam Lawson so soon. But give the guy a little time to adjust. And I think the practice runs and the commentary even from Red Bull itself after practice was pretty positive and pretty excited. So quali obviously didn't go the way he wanted and the race didn't go the way he wanted, but let's see what happens next. I think in general on the Red Bull thing, there's been a lot of anti-Red Bull chatter after the whole Liam Lawson situation, how they're making questionable decisions. There's always been this sort of question around their driver development program and whether that's really serving them or not. But I think this weekend, besides the Yuki pointsless situation, it was just the dominant win that they needed to be like, we're back, we haven't given up, you guys can talk all you want about our decisions, but you don't have the data that we do, and we're the ones making the decisions here, and look, we're still at the top of our game, and Max Verstappen is knocking on the door by 1 point to the Drivers' Championship right now, and Constructors is still very tight. So I think it's just what Red Bull needed to sort of silence or quash some of the Liam Lawson fallout that they've been experiencing. And lastly, just a couple of really quick things about Carlos. Besides his unfortunate $20,000 fine for using the bathroom during the national anthem, he is still getting used to the car, I think making some comments about how he needs some time to get used to it. As a reminder, it's a totally new power unit for him, despite the fact that he's raced at 50% of the teams on the grid. He's never once used a Mercedes power unit, so still getting used to that. It's great and encouraging to see Alex Albon up there in the points 3 weekends in a row. Like, shout out to Albon for that. It's really incredible to see what he's doing there. But I don't think it necessarily means that Carlos is a worse driver or that's going to be how things are for the rest of the season. I think Carlos really just needs some time to adjust. So for the standings, we have Lando Norris with 62, Max Verstappen 1 point behind at 61, Oscar Piastri 49, George Russell 45, Kimi Antonelli 30, Charles Leclerc 20, Alex Albon 18, Lewis Hamilton 15, and Esteban and Lance Stroll tied for 10. So that's your top 10. For constructors, we have McLaren at 111, Mercedes at 75, Red Bull at 61, Ferrari 35, Williams 19, Haas 15, Aston Martin 10, Racing Bulls 7, Kick Sauber 6, and Alpine at 0. So this is a really, really, really brutal start to the season for Alpine. The fact that a lot of these midfield teams have stepped up and scored multiple points multiple weekends in a row is not boding well for Alpine, who has struggled to start the season. Even Kick Sauber, who scored, I think, 4 points last season, has already surpassed their total. So people seem to have stepped it up. All right, for our Bahrain Grand Prix preview, this Grand Prix has been around since 2004. It's typically been on the front end of the calendar, including being the season opener for the last several years. It was Australia this year for the first time in some time, but Bahrain is a good one. It's very fast with pretty good overtaking opportunities. It is a newer track. It has 3 DRS zones compared to the usual 2, so we should be seeing some excitement, I hope. The Bahrain International Circuit is sometimes just called Sakir. It's 5.4 kilometers, 57 laps, 15 turns, 3 DRS zones. And the lap record is still from 2005, Pedro de la Rosa. Funny because this is the only fastest lap of his whole career, but he really made it count. And what is fun is that less than half of the races here have been won by pole. That could be interesting. Quali may not be what it seems. It's also essentially in the desert, can have high winds, so we'll see how that affects the cars on track. And there is nearby sand, so sometimes that's sprayed with adhesive to prevent it from blowing all over the track. A little bit of history. It was the first Middle Eastern track to host a Grand Prix. Michael Schumacher won the inaugural Grand Prix here in 2004. He also apparently had a hand in consulting on the layout and the design of the circuit, which is very cool. The track also named the first turn after Michael Schumacher after his ski accident, and it still remains the only turn with a name rather than a number. This track is also the site of the Romain Grosjean terrifying crash, burning car incident with Haas during the 2020 Bahrain Grand Prix. Thank God that he's okay, but that was a really, really scary incident. It happened on the opening lap, and Grosjean was stuck in that burning car for so long until he was able to extract himself. Luckily, he was okay besides some minor burns and an ankle injury, but still scary nonetheless. So to round out this very quick preview, I'm going to give you my hot take and prediction for the race. I feel like my takes have been a little too hot and none of them are coming true, but I think I'm just going to keep the train rolling and say Kimi Antonelli on podium. You heard it here first, his first podium in Bahrain. With that, thank you all so much. I will be back on the other side of Bahrain with a recap. Happy race watching.
Celebrate the end of hibernation season at Fresh Time Market with 30% off all vitamins, supplements, and body care products from April 9th to April 15th. Bury those winter blues with incredible savings on Truvani plant-based protein, Mary Ruth's vitamins, and Frownies facial patches, among thousands of other products that will add a spring to your step. As you can tell, the only thing blooming more than the flowers is our 30% spring sale at Fresh Time. Trust us, you don't want to miss out.